Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So on a day when there are lots of fun stories, this one caught my attention in a big way. A guy named Tommy Fisher, his company evidently spent $30 million building 3 miles of border wall between the U.S. and Mexico there on in the Rio Grande Valley. Now he wants somebody to buy it. I'm going, wait a second. Explain to me what gave you the idea that, hey, I'm just going to build some wall and, maybe the former guy would have bought it from me. What a stupid decision. But hey, he has his wall and maybe he can charge admission. I don't know. My first thought was, did he get permits? Who owns the wall? Very, very strange. But here again, do what you got to do. Anyway, welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, therickssmithshow.com. So clearly the big news of the day, the select committee next week. And as I've said, I think that Nancy Pelosi made a mistake. I've gotten a lot of pushback on this. I'm here to share some thoughts on, well, did she make a mistake? Did she make the right move by not letting the gyms on the committee? That's why I've asked our good friend Joe Walsh to come back and talk with us. Joe is a former Republican congressman from Illinois, Tea Party guy, and currently host of the F Silence podcast. Joe, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, I love to talk to you. How are you?
I'm good. Let's start with the guy with the wall. What do you think of the guy who built, 3 million? He brought 3 miles of wall.
God bless him. Good luck. It's his own mess. I will say this, and look, Rick, it's a fun thing to have fun with that story. We got an issue at our border.
We do.
And I think you and I would agree with that.
We do.
And I'll tell you what, Washington, D.C., I'll tell you what, Rick, Congress and the president ought to take Rick Smith and Joe Walsh, fly the two of us out to Washington, put us in a conference room for the weekend, and you and I, from different perspectives, we should come up with our comprehensive immigration reform plan, because we need to do something.
No, we need it desperately. And this is in the situation that we're in, with this polar opposite views, nothing ever gets done. And the situation just festers and gets worse. But here's the thing. I look at this guy and look, I don't know who told him to do it. I don't know where he thought he was getting $30 million from, but that's on him.
I think he was banking on Trump winning.
I think so.
And somehow Trump was going to...
I don't know how that was going to happen, but...
Yeah. I think that's what he was banking on.
Yeah, well, you roll the dice. Sometimes you win. Sometimes you lose. My thought first, when I read it, the first thought I had, did he get permits? Because if he didn't, is he going to have to spend $30 more million to take it down?
Well, and again, I should know this, Rick, but... technically, the 3 miles he built, is it on his land? Where is it?
It's in the Rio Grande Valley. It didn't say who owned it. He didn't say he owned it. It's just it's supposedly the most traveled border crossing point.
Got it.
Look, we got to do something, and we could spend days going through what we think that is.
And we don't, and you do, but generally we don't. The media doesn't talk enough about this issue, but every single day we've got good, decent people walking and streaming across that border. This is a real issue that we got to wrap our arms around.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and I go back to, you go back to the 70s where we didn't have. Really hard. My wife tells me she grew up on an avocado ranch in Southern California, and you had people who the border was more porous. People came back and forth. They would come here to work during the working season, and then they would go home because they didn't want to live here. They wanted to go home and support their families, but they needed the income, and they were able to go back and forth. And there's part of me that goes, if we had a different system that would allow people to come do the work that we need done, like working on the farms.
Absolutely.
And let them go home, that you wouldn't have the kind of problem we have. My problem with our current immigration system is we're pushing people into the shadows. We're making them desperate. We're making them exploitable. And it's pulling us all down.
True. But, Rick, and I agree, we need to get back to that where we can allow that. I get that. Where people come here, they work, they go back home. I get all of that. The problem is we do have people coming into this country illegally, and they're just staying, and they're permanent. And you're right, they try to live in the shadows, but ultimately this is a burden on all of us. And I know you agree with me. You need a border. You're not a country if you don't have a border. It's not a border if you don't enforce it. So that's got to be part of any kind of immigration package we try to work toward.
Yeah, you've got to secure your borders in a way, but, you know, building a 30-foot wall when we've got shovels and ladders, again, I don't know that that's the answer either.
You would think in today's day and age with technology and even manpower,
right?
You wouldn't need a physical barrier.
Now, we also know that a lot of, and I didn't want to spend all of our time talking about immigration because that's not what I wanted to do, but we also know that a lot of people come here, the old-fashioned way, on planes and on trains and in automobiles, like the John Candy movie.
And they overstay their visas.
Absolutely.
I mean, again, I tend to be a hawk on the border, but the vast majority of people who are in this country illegally have just come, as you say, planes, trains, and automobiles, and they've overstayed their visas and they're staying here. That system is broken as well.
No, I agree. And there's so many things we could fall into the rabbit hole on this issue for days. But I got to get your thoughts on Pelosi's decision not to let the gyms on the select committee.
I think it's a bad move. I served with Jim Jordan. I know him. I don't know him anymore because, to me, I don't even recognize this guy. Him and Jim Banks, I think she should have kept them on there because these two Jims would have revealed themselves to be the absolute unserious clowns, uninterested in getting at any truth. I think Pelosi and the Democrats searched for the truth about January 6th would have been better served having them on the committee, and I think exposing the hypocrisy of the Republicans would have been better served if they were on the committee. She gave Kevin McCarthy, Rick, a perfect out here.
Yeah, see, a lot of my liberal friends are taking me to the woodshed over this, and I'm going, no, I wanted Jim Jordan on that committee, for one, so I could see Liz Cheney go, you did this again,
yeah.
Like she did supposedly on January 6th, but also so that the American people can see the questioning that comes out and the kind of shenanigans that they're going to pull. Instead, now what I think is going to happen, and you can disagree with me, is, you know, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are going to go through with their committee, and they're going to do all the serious work that comes into it. But you're going to end up with the Fox News Republicans doing their sideshow and their dog and pony show and spinning an alternative narrative they've excluded us.
Yes, and what Pelosi did just made their case easier.
Right.
Because now, again, Kevin McCarthy is an idiot. I served with him. He's an absolute tool. But even he looked kind of righteous indignation yesterday. She gave him a bone. Now it's so easy for the Republicans to say, as McCarthy said, this is a sham committee, and half the country now will ignore the results. I think what it'll do, what happened yesterday, is going to energize the Republican base big time.
So let me ask you this, you know, because this is your world, and this is why I wanted to have you on to talk about this. Because I have some of my liberal friends who are going to go, no, people are going to watch and they're going to be so moved by the testimony that they have to come around. Now, I understand Trump's base. They're probably not even going to watch. They're in the bag. Their hope is that there are still some moderate to reasonable Republicans who may have voted for Trump, but didn't like his antics and, you know, may have voted for Biden. And now you're going to be able to pull them over. Is there any movement you see politically going forward with this committee in the way that now it's going forward?
No, I think that die would. The minute the Republicans rejected the bipartisan commission a number of weeks ago,
right,
the die was cast. And I'm not talking about the cult or the base. I hear from them every day. But I also hear from independents and reasonable Republicans every day. They will not pay one lick of attention to this committee. The only people who will pay attention to this committee is like people who watch MSNBC. It's an absolute shame. I think, Rick, I think Pelosi made a mistake even having a select committee. The minute the Republicans said no to a bipartisan commission, I think Biden and Pelosi should have grabbed George W. Bush and Barack Obama And they should have led a blue ribbon commission on January 6th. The minute the commission was gone, I just think a select committee is only the Democrats care about it. It's a shame, but only the Democrats care about it.
So no matter what comes out of this, you don't think it's going to move the needle?
No. And again, I want to emphasize this to your listeners. It's not just the cult and the base. Mainline Republicans and center-right people are not going to pay attention to this select committee. It's too bad, but that's a fact.
Yeah, and for me, I wasn't all that thrilled with the commission because of the deadlines and some of the things that they had in. But that was the better alternative to this, I think.
Yes, and again, I love the idea of a blue ribbon commission. You know, Obama, Bush, but they wouldn't have had subpoena power. I get it. The Benghazi Select Committee. I mean, no matter what they would have come up with, a big chunk of the country wouldn't have moved them. That's going to be the case with this. And by the way, Rick, an utter shame, because our democracy was attacked 6 months ago, and we can't even investigate it in a bipartisan fashion. And that's all because the Republicans don't give a damn. They don't want the American people to know the truth.
I mean, it's just one of those things that, you know, just is on a certain level kind of shocking, but on another level, just, you know, predictable. It is what it is. And I look at someone like McCarthy, who, just a week after the riot happened, came out and said, on the House floor, that the president bears responsibility for Wednesday's attack on Congress by mob rioters. He should have immediately denounced the mob when he saw what was unfolding. These facts require immediate action of President Trump. And you go, where's that guy? Where's the guy who on January 6th got into an expletive-laden back and forth with Donald Trump? Where's that guy?
Well, that guy doesn't exist. I mean, McCarthy was forced to say what he said early on after January 6th. The McCarthy I know, and I ought to be careful, but the McCarthy I know, Rick, has no core. I mean, he's like a hollow guy. He has no philosophy. Kevin McCarthy, and he's a master at this, he's all about the acquisition of power. He would step all over his mother to become speaker, and that's all he's focused on right now. And Democrats don't want to hear this, but this kerfuffle over how to investigate January 6th is really firing up the Republican base.
Oh, yeah.
Democrats need to be concerned about that.
No, and this is one of my arguments that, you're going to give them the red meat that they need at the time that they're going to need. This is going to go on for a couple of months. This could lead into next year. This will most certainly be an election year thing, especially because I think the Republican machine, the conservative media has done but the conservative media has done a pretty good job of trying to change the narrative that this wasn't the horrible attack that I think you and I agree on, that this was just, it was just a normal day, just tourists.
And in a weird way, Rick, from the beginning, the Democrats were in a bad spot because the Republicans had no interest in playing ball from the beginning. You're right. There was about a week after January 6th where McConnell, McCarthy, and everybody was so blown away by what happened. But then they took stock, and they heard from their base. And week by week by week, the Republican Party moved away from caring about January 6th. And so by the time they voted on a bipartisan commission weeks ago, the Republicans had already decided they're not going to play ball. The Democrats were in a tough spot.
Yeah, but now going forward, you're a messaging guy. I think Jim Jordan yesterday came out with what the plan is going to be. They're going to attack Pelosi and the Democrats who are in control. They're in the majority. They oversee the Capitol Police. You know the argument is going to be Nancy Pelosi didn't protect us.
And they're going to do that, and they're going to say this is all the Democrats are focused on. They're focused on what happened 7 months ago. What about inflation? What about crime? What about the border? Biden's ignoring all of these things, the deficit and all this stuff. And all they want to talk about is January 6th. So the Republicans are going to use that as well.
And as I've said, I think they have a bigger microphone.
Now, bull. Well, they've got the conservative media world that I come from, but you got CNN, you got MSNBC, I mean, the mainstream media generally tilts left, but they're all over the map on this. You're right in that the Fox News world and conservative talk radio, they're all singing from the same page.
Yeah, they're all in the same church and they're all in the same hymnal. And all of the quote unquote, liberal media, I don't see the liberal bias. They're all over the map. They're just wandering as far as I'm concerned.
Well, my plea to your Democratic listeners listening to us right now, history says Republicans are going to take back the House next year.
Yep.
Redistricting says the Republicans will take back the House. The only way that will change is if Democrats get off their ass and defy history and actually come out and vote in the midterm.
Yeah, but here again, you look at the things that are going on in states around the country where they're erecting all of these barriers. And look, I'll be the first one to tell you we should be out there getting people registered to vote and overcoming those barriers. But the Republicans are doing everything they can do to make sure that they have the advantage next time around as well.
More people voted than ever before last year. There's no reason that for a midterm election that doesn't happen again. And the one good thing the Democrats have going for them, Rick, is Donald Trump. Republicans wish that Trump would just like go away for 2 years and play golf, but he's not going to do that. He wants to make himself the story in 2022. Remember, the Democrats' greatest get-out-the-vote tool is Donald Trump. So if he keeps his mug out there for the next year and a half, that will bring Democrats out.
Yeah, it will, but it's also the greatest tool for the Republicans as well. I mean, you did have the most people vote last time around.
Yes, I agree, but 81 million people voted for Joe Biden, and they did not vote for Joe Biden because he's Joe Biden. The vast majority of those people voted against something, against an unfit psychopath. That's got to happen again.
Let's hope. But Joe, I appreciate the thoughts. I appreciate your time as always. Good talking with you, my friend.
Keep slugging, Rick. Thanks.
Our good friend Joe Walsh. Make sure you check out his podcast, the F Silence Podcast. We'll get links out on social media how you can do that. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.